I am Gary Parrish. Welcome back to CBS Sports Ion College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, leaky black. Matt Norlander is here with me. He's in a hotel room. I'm in a hotel room. We are in the same city, but different hotels and different hotel rooms. If you're watching on YouTube, honor Brandon Davies, smash that like button. You know if he was here, that's what he would be doing. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the Ion College Basketball Podcast, please do that wherever you subscribe to pods like Apple and Spotify. Let's get into it. It's Sunday morning in Las Vegas.
Yeah, it is.
What are we doing? Hey, I'm going to get it back to you pretty quickly. What are we doing this for? Do you know what time I went to bed last night? Did you see Conor McGregor tear his ACL in 69 seconds?
I didn't. We're doing the podcast because I believe this is a first. I don't know if we've ever done the pod while we were both in Vegas at the same time. If there's any super diehard long time listeners that recall, if maybe we did this in like 2016, 2015, 2014. I don't think we ever did. I think we usually saved the next pod for after we got home, which was probably the wise idea. However, it's been a minute since we podcasted. I'm still going to be here for another close to 48 hours. I'm going to do some summer league stuff. You're leaving to go back home. I didn't think that the timing was going to work for us for Monday or Tuesday. And there's plenty to, there has actually been an array of headlines that have hit college basketball over the past like 4 days that our audience, frankly, I think wants to hear about. And let's be real here. You referenced the fact that before we went on the air, we're going to play guess the time GP got back to his hotel room. I went out. I got myself a nice little dinner. Javier's in the Aria. Fantastic stuff. Great stuff. And then the plan was to meet up with GP because GP had a Memphis Grizzlies dinner last night. And I wasn't going to crash that, but I was going to try and meet up with him after. And to be fair, he did text me and say, hey, listen, we got a booth here. We're doing bottle service, you know, all this good stuff. If you want to come over and hit the club. By all means.
No, I want to be clear. I was not an old man in a club. We were in a restaurant, in a booth, in a restaurant. No club. I wasn't in a club.
I saw
a coach yesterday that one time you and I, we went to Hakkasan with, and yes. he was like, You getting Hakkasan tonight? And I said, bro, that was so long ago. we don't do that anymore. You don't do that anymore. All right. You're an old coach now, and I'm an old whatever I am now. I'll see you at Summer League, okay? Let's talk at Summer League, not at Hakkasan.
Yeah, I can't believe Dusty brought that up, by the way. Anyway, so I was, like, going to meet up with you, and then it was getting late. And then I was actually, like, I was running out of gas because I was at the World Cup on Thursday. Awesome France-Morocco scenes, all that good stuff. But basically, like, turned around on 4 hours of sleep, flew across country, got through yesterday, and then it kind of hit me. So, you know, 10:45 local last night, I was like, you know what? I got a pass. You hit me, and you actually hit me after I had taken a quick shower. I was like, I can't make it over to you. It sounded fun. I would have liked to have done it, but we couldn't make that happen. And so then I got to bed at a relatively reasonable hour, knowing we were going to podcast. I put together the rundown, and then I thought to myself, huh, it took them about 40 minutes to get back to me, which is fine, deep in conversation.
Right.
What time do I think my buddy's getting to bed tonight? I'm going to say – because you didn't know where you were at was not your hotel. So at some point you needed to find a way back to your hotel.
I had to Uber back. That was the worst part of the night.
How about this? Do we want to play what time you walked back into your hotel? Okay. I'm gonna say it's 9:35 in Vegas right now. I'm gonna say you walked back into your hotel at 3:10 a.m. Vegas time.
It's pretty close. If this were like the Showcase Showdown, you would be pretty good. Are you and your family on the Life 360 app? Your kids aren't old enough now, so it probably doesn't matter.
We are not on the Live 360 app. No.
Okay. We're on Live 360. So when my wife FaceTimes me at 7:30 in the morning and says, "What time did you get back to the hotel?" I said, "You know what time I got back to the hotel. You're just bothering me right now." Can you see this?
Wow, hold on. 3:17. Is that when it dropped you off or when it picked you up from where you were leaving from?
That's when I got back to my hotel. I've been at this hotel since 3:17. Wow. I've been at this hotel since 6:17 Eastern.
That's incredible. Hey, listen, both of us, now, I'm not just going to put this on GP. We have gotten back to hotels well later than that in Vegas.
Oh, trust me, in all my Vegas nights, last night was probably the
famous. I will say this, as we parted ways yesterday from the huge convention center, we're going to talk actually Vegas stuff and EYBL in just one quick second here. When we parted ways and we knew we were not going to be able to do dinner together last night, we did dinner the night before. GP said something to the effect of, hey, listen, man, like, I'm not looking to go like stay out late or get crazy or anything like that. And then my exact words to you were, the 5:30 GP is not the 9:30 GP.
That's a fair point.
Certainly not the 2:30 a.m. GP.
That's a fair point.
I need you to know I'm so very proud of you.
You called it. You predicted it pretty well. I had no intentions of going to bed at 3:17. And trust me, if I got here at 3:17, that's when I went to sleep. It was 3:17. Okay. If I walked in this door at 3:17, I went to sleep at 3:17. No, it was just like friends sitting around a table talking. That's all it was. Yeah. It was like friends sitting around a table talking is all it was. And you look up and it's 2:30 and it's like, yo, all right.
Yeah.
I don't know why I agreed to podcast on a Sunday morning following UFC 329 or whatever number it was. But
I was in the car going from Summer League. Got a good chat in with Dusty. Apparently they cut to Dusty on the baseline like a couple times and I was there. So apparently I was so I got a couple of texts like, okay, so this is how it is. So,
like, leave him alone. He's in the NBA now, nerd. Leave Dusty May alone.
How about that? How about this? That exact text minus the nerd came in from one Adrian Wojnarowski.
Okay.
And then I texted him and I was like, there's no chance you're in the building right now. He said, you'll never see me in Vegas again. They cut to you twice on television, which I thought was very, very funny.
To that point, I guess it was last week at some point, you and I were trying to figure out something with the NBA.
Yes.
And you had the idea. You were like, let's just text Woj. He'll probably know Steel.
Yes.
So you text Woj, and the group text was like, hey, we're going out to Vegas, blah, 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 blah. Hey, who would you talk to about this? And he gave us the name and the email and all that. And then he was like, have fun. He was like, hey, have a good time, but I'll
have a blast. Anyway,
I won't be there.
I bring this up to say I left. I'm sure I would have had a great time with you. I don't know if it would have been great for this podcast if I'd been out with you till 3 in the morning. Maybe it would have been even better, but I'm not regretting this at all. The McGregor fight happened when I was in the lift going from Summer League to dinner, and then I was obviously like following on my phone, and I was like, oh man, you gotta be kidding me, like because building up to it around Vegas, like on yesterday there was a lot of just like buzz about like how good or not he would be. So just it's been interesting to be in this city when all of this stuff's going on. There's been a Kenny Chesney concert, there's some other huge thing happening here somewhere, I can't remember, and then there's then the McGregor stuff and then EYBL and Summer League. So it's been awesome to be on the ground. And I wanted to fire up the pod machine and bring people into our world over the past few days because it's been pretty damn cool to experience.
No, in all seriousness, I'm glad we did. Like, I did go to bed late. We've established that. I feel fine. I do this all the time. Like, not here.
This might as well be a Wednesday in mid-February.
That's right. I mean, seriously, right, it could be a Wednesday in January. This is the same type of schedule. So, like, I don't know if I'm good at it, but I know I'm capable of podcasting on very little sleep. I can do it all the time. And no, it's just the whole city's been popping the whole time. I know if you read about Vegas, like tourism's down and blah, 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 blah. But like, it's been fun because there's just so much stuff going on here. You mentioned the Kenny Chesney thing. That's at the Sphere. I'm trying to work on saying that word. Oddly, here's how crazy. First day here, I think I told you this. I'm leaving my hotel. I'm on the 22nd floor of a hotel here in Vegas. I'm leaving my hotel, waiting on the elevator. And some young women walk out of the elevator, and I'm waiting for them just to come out of the elevator so I can walk on the elevator. And I'm like, I make eye contact with one of them, and I'm like,
as you do,
you try not to, but sometimes you do, you know. And I'm like, Bella, it's my niece who lives 2 minutes away from me. She's staying in the same hotel.
That like wasn't awkward.
Like four rooms down from me. Like my niece is right down there. So I was like, all right, that's wild of all the places to be. How you been? I was like, how you been? I ain't talked to her in a minute. So it's good to see her. We took a little selfie and stuff. So, and then I went right over to the EYBL. So Summer League, EYBL, everything else that happens in Vegas. It's been awesome. It's been fun being out here. I haven't been here maybe in a couple of years, and it's been fun being back out here.
Well, okay, and so to the topic of hoops here, and we'll get to the, like there actually has been, as I said, an array of headlines. We'll get to that after the break, but let's just talk what we've seen here and really really fun development that's come to be. And I think I'll have something later on Sunday. I'm writing about this specifically. For the first time ever, we have a live evaluation period happening at the same time as Summer League is going on. Now, what used to happen, like Summer League started in the early 2000s and came to Vegas the first year, I think in 2004, 2005. But when there used to be live evaluation periods in Vegas, although the calendar would kind of tweak every year, it would be at the end of July. So there had never been a time when the NBA's Summer League was happening concurrently with, you know, hundreds of college coaches and descending upon Vegas to do some live evaluations and live recruiting. So that's one, that's cool. Two, though, what's happening is Nike, for the boys and the girls, staged its penultimate live evaluation period here in Vegas at the convention center. So this massive complex, this huge building, that is a terrific place to have it. And what has happened is, you know, I show up, you know, get off the flight, hotel room wasn't even ready, drop my suitcase off, go right to the convention center. First game I pull up to, there's Brad Stevens right there on the sideline getting in, because you're able to get all these GMs really one after another, taking it because they want to get eyes on these prospects at 16, 17 years old. And you're getting a lot of intermingling with the college basketball community, the high school basketball community, the grassroots, the NBA. It's an awesome, terrific thing. Now, it has been, I think since 2018 was the last time there were like notable live evaluation events in Vegas. You'll recall the FBI case broke in late 2017. That led to the Rice Commission, which led to these NCAA basketball academies, which were halted for a few years by COVID. We didn't have this in Vegas for essentially 8 years. It has finally returned. And the fact that it has come back in the way that it has come back is outstanding. I talked to probably close to two dozen coaches over the past 2 days about this. Not a single coach had a bad thing or a negative thing to say about the experience. And, you know, Vegas is for a lot of coaches, it is a long flight that's out here. And Adidas right now is in Texas. Under Armour is elsewhere. Obviously, there will be the Peach Jam next week. Full disclosure, GP and I will not be at Peach Jam this year for a variety of different logistical and calendar reasons, but we opted to come to Vegas for this. This feels like it should be a staple moving forward. Yes. The ease in which, like I mentioned in previous years on the podcast, the Rock Hill facility that Adidas uses, that's outstanding as well. What we have here in Vegas with the convention center is even bigger. I counted, I think it's 22 courts, and those are from 15-year-olds to 16-year-olds to the EYBL and all of it. You can pop, and if you're watching on YouTube here, Josh hey, has got too. Some got hey, one dude. Shot of one of the courts hey, there. Dude. The banners aren't ideal. There's a lot of this, I am the show, yeah. Who's guarding me, exactly, I'm who they came to see. Like, that's not great. In fact, a lot of coaches are like, what the hell are we doing here? Like, we're perpetuating the worst things about grassroots basketball. The banners aside, which Nike deserves to get some real some crap over, because they always have banners every year. They're just never this so like, look at me before. I don't know why they did this. But the facility is great. You can go from watching games on court four, turn around, walk nine paces, and you go from standing next to, you know, Todd Golden and Tom Izzo, and then you go over to this court, and there's John Calipari, John Shire, et cetera, on down the line. It's just really, really easy. And I even mentioned to GP because we got a quick bite on Friday, I guess it was. We were hungry. We needed something, right? We just needed some sustenance. And so they've got this, you know, think of it kind of as like a big food court, kind of like you see in a mall, but not with as many options, just like three or four different things. Right. One of these spots was like a Metro Pizza, and the slice was fine. Like, it was whatever. It was like a $13 slice of pizza. But we were just trying to fill up. And then all of 3 or 4 minutes later, we're sitting there talking. And then it's none other than John Calipari, just like, this dude was a meme 3 weeks ago at the greatest finals comeback in the history of the league. And he's going through, he's the third person in line waiting to pay for the same crappy slice of pizza that we were, and getting in some recruiting. It's been really great. I hope that I asked Nike if the plan is to do this moving forward. And I was told essentially it is yes, as long as the feedback is good enough. I was told it's costing them more than $1 million to just stage this and put this on. The NBA has helped with a lot of this stuff. It's been fantastic. It's not the championship event. That is the Peach Jam. But, yeah, this has been wonderful to see. Really great to experience. It's wrapped up here and now today. There's a couple of, like, final playing games for teams that are going to qualify for Peach Jam. But otherwise, it's done. Coaches are heading out today. Some are sticking around for Summer League for a couple days. And then, of course, later this week, there's going to be Adidas's Three Stripes Select Basketball Championship will be in Rock Hill. Peach Jam for Nike will be going to North Augusta. We won't be there. But that's kind of a wrap on what we've seen here. I just love seeing it. I toss it back to you on your thoughts and experiences. Getting grassroots basketball GP back to where it belongs in Vegas. I find it to be something that really uplifts the enterprise across the board.
It's great. It's great. And I think I'd forgotten how great it was because they take everything out of here after the FBI scandal. And it's right. Like, we can't go back to Vegas because that's where all the bad stuff happens. And then The truth is, you realize you can do whatever was happening in Vegas, you can do in Tupelo. You know, you can do it anywhere you want to do it. And so, you know, let some time pass. Here we are. And it's terrific. The signs inside the convention center, I've seen that on social media, and I co-sign it. Like, those signs should instead say something like pass the ball and space the floor and be respectful of your coach. Stop yelling at the ref. Stop flopping. If we really want to improve American basketball, we can. There's some stuff we could put on these signs, but yeah, I think the signs miss a little
instead
bit.
We get this. They get, let me put you on my mixtape.
That's awful.
Sure, man.
Imagine one of these kids talking to Dan Hurley, being like, "Coach, I just want to put him on my mixtape." Okay, you're done. We're done. We're done with you. You can't come to UConn because you just mentioned your mixtape. Okay.
I don't know.
So yeah, we need to fix that. But otherwise, it's been terrific. And I really do think it's not to overstate it, but it's just when you get every level of basketball and all the people that work inside of that in the same place. Like, we went to dinner, was it Friday night? And there are a million hotels and a million places to have a nice dinner in Las Vegas. And it does not matter which one you pick. There's going to be somebody you recognize two tables over. Somebody in basketball two tables over. And like,
We left dinner and we see Joe Mazzulla waiting in line to get ice cream. Just a thing that happens.
It's just a thing that happens. Like, I walk into Summer League Thursday night, I guess. That was the DeBonsa Peterson thing. And it was just, If I had glasses on and they were taking like video, you just do this and it's like, oh, there's Cooper Flagg, there's Anthony Davis, there's Dusty May, there's Mike Boynton, it's just everybody everywhere you turn. And as long as they keep coming back, I think we'll keep coming back because this is it's hard to beat this.
No doubt about it. Well, actually, I mentioned this to you yesterday when it's just the scenery is great. Like, we parted ways. We were at the Cosmo that night. And after I left you 10 minutes later, it's Max Crosby just strolling through like the main thoroughfare of the Cosmo. And he's got like this entourage with him and just his magnetism. It's just, you know.
Oh, so
it really is. It's just incredible people watching in general. And it felt, I'll take the mic back here, GP, but you can be extremely productive. But it's also, yeah, there's just there really is an energy here that is fantastic. And it was a shame that this went away for so long, but I got to believe it's coming back. And in talking to the coaches the past 2 days about this, like, there has been a lot of like, we understand some of the reasons why Adidas and Under Armour, like, they didn't plan in this in coordination with the NBA. And they obviously, Nike's the biggest competitor, but they need to figure out a way to get this.
Bring it all here.
And get everyone here for the same 3-4-5 day stretch. Like, they figure it out, because there are way too many upsides and positives and benefits versus, like, right now this week, Adidas was in Bryan, Texas. And I talked to a Big Ten coach who went out there for a day, said he had a meal there that he think that won't even be topped here in Vegas. And obviously Vegas has incredible spots to eat dinners all over the place. So that's great. But he's like, it needs to be out here. So we'll see if they can get that done. If they don't, it will be to their own detriment, because if Nike's going to put a big footprint, a big flag here again doing this, it's going to become overwhelmingly the most dominant destination point, and the other shoe companies for this weekend, if nothing else, will take a hit as a result.
It's going to become a bigger destination point than even Peach Jam.
Yes.
Because you can get so much.
Talked to a couple head coaches. They came here. They told me they're not going to Peach Jam.
I talked to coaches.
This is enough. like, I'll have staff members go, you will not see me there. Cause they asked if I was going, I was like, I won't be there. And they're like, you know what? Neither am I. I'm wrapping up this weekend and I won't be there because I'm trying to cram everything here. The other part of this, GP, all of the agents are there.
Yeah.
I 10, 12, 14 guys I talked with yesterday, GP, they're like, the evaluation is evaluation. We're still doing that. We are here to network and talk with the agents,
right.
Period. The agents are sitting next to the coaches. Like the things that caused it to leave Vegas to begin with are now the reasons why everyone's here. And it's so much more refreshing that this is the state of play. There's still frustrations over a lot of stuff, but it's just so much more practical for why they're doing it.
And you and I, and then we'll move on and actually start talking basketball. But we were in a conversation at the gym with a coach the other day. We won't name him. But he was like, just look at this. This coach was just observing. And he was like, look, there's a coach and dad talking right now. That was so illegal last time we were here. And it's just like out in the open now. Nobody cares. And this coach was like, I don't even really get bothered by any of it anymore. Like, you know, everybody's if I get beat for a player, I don't assume it's because cheating as much as it's just they had more money or they were willing to pay more money. And it just is what it is. And it's just, it was, just sort of everything's out in the open and the agents are talking to the coaches and the coaches are talking to the parents and the parents are talking to whoever they want to talk to. And nobody seems to even blink. And that's just not the way it used to be. And you're exactly right. The reasons we got out of here are now just like, hey, do whatever you want to do. We're back and get it done. And if I were Adidas or Under Armour or talking to Adidas and Under Armour, I would say you would be better off bringing your stuff here. Because if you try to counter program it in another city, everybody's coming here.
Yeah.
And if you put it here, yeah, you might be secondary to Nike or whatever, or third to Summer League. But everybody will still be here and people will still pop in. People will still pop into your gym just to say they were in your gym for a second.
Correct.
And so if you want, I guess if I was talking about Adidas Under Armour, very few people are going to pick you moving forward in this week unless you come here. It's already been established. The world's going to be here. You want to be a part of the world or you want to go do it somewhere else? It's up to you, but it seems obvious to me what you should do.
Without a doubt. Been really cool to see just it's just a unique thing in sports where you have the basketball world kind of descend upon this. And like, you don't get this in college football and pro football. You don't get this in baseball. You don't get it in hockey. You don't get it in soccer. It's just, it's a really cool, it's just a big celebration of basketball. And we'll get to the Summer League stuff at the end when we talk Dusty and Boynton. But even the way that event is run, like I'd never been to Summer League until this year because specifically Summer League never overlapped to allow me to come out here while a live evaluation period was happening. And even that is like, it's a well-controlled but like loose environment. Really good stuff. I'm going to be back over there later today and get some time in there tomorrow. Just really looking forward to it. It's been really, really great. As for the particular players, we'll talk about a couple of them here. We will have Fink on at some point here later this month to kind of give you the lowdown on a lot of the top 8, 10, 12 players. We saw some guys here and there. Caden Daughtry looks awesome and amongst some others. But when it comes to that kind of stuff and recruiting and how they've popped, we'll dedicate an episode to that later this month.
All right, let's take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll touch on some big headlines from the past few days, most notably, or at least among the most notable, Marcus Spears Jr. is a Texas Longhorn. Presumably for 2 years. We'll dive in next. First, let's get a word from our partners. Marcus Spears Jr. ended his recruitment in the recent days, and I think somewhat surprised the basketball world by what he did and how he did it. He is reclassifying for people unfamiliar. If you don't have a 24/7 sports subscription, he was the number one player in the class of 2027. He has announced he's reclassifying to 2026, meaning he will enroll in college this summer and play college basketball next season. He's going to do it with his in-state school, one of them at least, the Texas Longhorns. And because he is only 17 years old, because of where his birthday falls, he will not be eligible for the 2027 NBA draft, won't be eligible in 2028. So I can't predict the future, but at this point, it seems the plan is for him to play 2 years of college basketball, specifically in Austin, Texas. It is the type of development that motivated me to move Texas into the top five of the top 25 and one. Your thoughts on Marcus Spears Jr. reclassifying, committed to Texas, and you know, hook him and all that.
Yeah, no doubt. And we'll dovetail this with a couple other players that are going to be in college for a couple of years, or at least that stands to be the plan as of right now. But let's focus on Spears. 6'10", power forward. Son, obviously, I think if you're dialed into a mid-July college basketball podcast, you're aware that his father is a prominent NFL commentator. And oh, by the way, former LSU Tiger in college, and then went on to play with the Cowboys and had a nice pro career. And I actually got to talk to his dad briefly last summer at Peach Jam, and he was great. So thrilled for them. His sister, his older sister, I think is a sophomore, is one of the best volleyball players in the country, also attends Texas.
I'm one of the best volleyball players in the country.
You definitely are nowhere even close, but apparently that was something of a factor. I was told that the family brought this plan to the Texas staff in just the past couple of weeks and essentially laid out the vision they had. Texas did not push for this. They were even a little bit like surprised by it. But obviously you're gonna lean into that. I don't know. Like, I genuinely don't like Spears is a good talent. He's young. I would not I mean, on some level, yes, he's raw, but I wouldn't define him as someone that is has raw ability. Like, he has well-defined skills, and understandably so, top-ranked player in his class. That being said, Texas has an outstanding roster at this point, and I don't know if he's going to be the third, fourth, fifth best player on the team. I don't know if he'll start. I wouldn't necessarily expect him necessarily to start day one next season when, again, 17 years old and now going to play two seasons. Oh, by the way, as a function of doing that, going to get himself a nice-looking college salary over the course of 2 years there. Sean Miller has been able to build up something I don't want to say monstrous yet because we'll see, Parrish, but you put him top five. I don't think it's outrageous that you did that. You'll recall when they got a couple of these big time commitments, I was in on Texas as a top 10 team like 6 weeks ago. So, you know, my opinion is only further enforced or reinforced by the fact that they get him on board. Just a quick reminder, like David Punch from TCU comes over. He's one of my favorite transfers in the entire class this year. They get Mikey Lewis from St. Mary's, who is really, really good. They've got some other good incoming freshmen that'll play a role. Austin Goosby, Bo Ogden, Amari Evans comes in from Tennessee. Someone else that I'm forgetting. Vokatitis does return. There's a lot there. So that's a big time coup. This broke. I was at France, Morocco. I think we were like 6 minutes into the game and it broke. And it wasn't computing for me in real time. I was like, wait, he's reclassing and he's going to be on Texas's roster like in 2 weeks.
Right.
And sure enough, that is the deal there. So good on them. Good on Texas. I'll just combo this with the other sure. Two other players in GP. Take it where you want. We've got, UCLA, which just landed Nicola Custarica, who's like 6'7 or 6'9, has a ton of talent. He just turned 17 in April. The interesting twist there, he might have always been going to UCLA. The rumored contract on him is massive, like north of $10 million for the next 2+ years. There was a thought that maybe Kentucky was the leader at one point. Whether or not that's actually true is up for real debate. I was never of that understanding. Then if Dusty May never took the Mavericks job, would he actually be going to play at Michigan instead? Regardless, Dusty's gone. UCLA gets him. That's a huge coup for Mick Cronin and co. He's going to play 2 years in college. And then Joaquin Boumche, whose father played at Georgetown, he committed to Duke, you know, a number of months ago, but he's only 17, played with FC Barcelona. He's going to play the next 2 years in college. And actually, Eric Bossy wrote a great feature on him for us at CBSSports.com a couple months back. He could be a player that's in play to be the number one pick in the 2028 NBA draft. So go where you want on Spears, but just keep in mind now we have three players coming into college basketball next season, playing for three highly prominent programs that will all be ranked well heading into the season that are going to play 2 years of college because of the age limit restriction at the NBA level. We haven't had this, so it's really cool. Boumche figures to be the best immediately off the bat, but Spears could obviously be a real factor, and then Custarica. I don't know if he'll be UCLA's best player immediately. I don't think so, but he should prove to be a real impact player and get the Bruins into that mix of being a top five team in the Big Ten.
Yeah, he's from Serbia and at least in the conversation to be the number one pick in the 2028 NBA draft. If you're ranking NBA prospects, he's probably the best of the bunch. And I just love everything about this. Like, I know college basketball can be chaotic and, you know, players moving around as often as they do can be not great for fans trying to keep track of who's who. I acknowledge all of that. None of this is perfect. But when you look at the talent level in college basketball right now, I think you can argue, I don't want to take it back to the 60s and the 70s and the 80s because those were different times, but certainly in modern history, you can argue there's more talent in college basketball than there has been in modern history. And it's all NIL money. Like there are players who come to America now to play college basketball in large part, if not entirely, because they can make more money doing it, period. They can make more money. I don't know if this young man
with
has
one exception we'll get to in just a second, but yes, keep going.
Oh, yes. Okay. But largely, you can make more money doing it. And so whether it's UConn bringing back Braylon Mullins or Florida bringing back Thomas Hunk or UCLA enrolling a Serbian who's 17 years old or whatever these are, it's like, hey, you're going to have 5 years of eligibility in college if you want it. You are never going to use it. So rather than do whatever you're doing over the next year, just come with us now. It'll be and be with us for 2 years. Are you ready? Come with us now for a year, then figure out what you want to do after the year. But you're talented enough to be here. We could pay you a lot of money to be here. You'll be better for it, and we'll be better for it. The sport will be better for it. Like this is a good trend in college basketball. And I bet you if we have this exact same conversation at a later hour on July 12th, 2027, there'll be more stories like this, even more than the ones we have right now.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how these three players, how impactful they are right away. I understand that every fan base at UCLA, Texas, Duke, you should be all the more invigorated by the fact that this is happening. Someone in the comments has mentioned that Quaintance did this. He did do it, but we have now three players who – theoretically, it's almost definitely not going to end up this way because it won't. But it could, where the guys we're talking about right now, Boomche, Costa Rica, and Spears, could be the three top picks in the 2020 NBA draft. And they'll have played 2 years in college apiece if all goes to plan. That just hasn't been something that we have had in this modern era. So a very fun deal. Texas got the biggest boost because they were already considered by many to be top 10 quality before Spears came aboard. Now he comes aboard all the more. And now I just don't think you have any case not to have Texas. Somewhere in the top 10 GP again has him at 5. UCLA with Costa Rica, one person told me, hey, just give him – he's got a ton of talent. Just give it a little bit of time. He might not pop immediately, but, like, it's there. UCLA is just going to have to cultivate it there. And then some others think that Boomche with Duke's roster, they think he's got the chance – to be fairly impactful, like within the first month of the season. Again, we'll see how it happens. Duke's got a loaded roster, but some really, really cool stuff. And again, the Spears and the Costa Rica news specifically have happened since we last podcasted. You toss in Boomche, and you got a cool little storyline developing there in college hoops. Elsewhere, though, GP,
we lost to Zag.
And you know what's wild? So I saw Gonzaga staffer on Friday. So Mario Saint Supery is leaving, if not has left Spokane at this point. He's going to return home to Spain and play for Valencia, which plays in the EuroLeague. I had talked to someone on the Gonzaga staff here on site in Vegas the day before, just talking about the team and how it was going and how the setup was. And, you know, I was saying, like, it really feels like you guys have, surprise, surprise, a great chance again to be top 15, top 10-ish quality yet again. And then I woke up Saturday morning to see that Saint-Supery was leaving. And I'm like, what the hell? We just talked. Like, I was like, did the coach know when he just had the greatest poker face ever? Turns out, no. The Gonzaga staff was... Okay. Yeah. Totally sideswiped by this. Saint-Supery, who I thought was going to be one of the, like, quite literally, I thought he could have been one of the five best sophomores who popped this upcoming season. I thought he was going to be borderline critical to Gonzaga's push to be a Final Four level kind of contender. I was told that the money for him was reportedly so outrageous that, like, Gonzaga almost on a level like can't fault him for going, and that it is in the neighborhood of $15 million on a 4-year deal, which would make him one of the highest paid players in the EuroLeague. And is that, that's not really a justifiable position to take, but apparently Valencia.
Sounds like something Rich Paul got done.
Well, they got new ownership. They got this.
Rich Paul got that Gary Trent Jr. deal done. And then he got the Mario deal done.
For whatever reason, they made it happen. I was told Saint-Supery was, you know, understandably like emotionally like a wreck over this because, you know, he did enjoy playing with Gonzaga and he was with the team in the past 48 hours, like doing just regular team stuff. And now he's got this quite literally a life-changing opportunity financially to go back to his home country and play for Valencia. And all the while, like Gonzaga's backcourt situation now has kind of taken a hit because there was another player wound up being a draft pick that they were going to have in the backcourt there who's gone as well. I don't think you've updated the top 25 and one to reflect this. I'm not trying to get you to do this in real time, I guess. But this is like Gonzaga now has to take a thing. Like Texas takes a boost this week. UCLA takes a boost this week. You lose Saint-Supery, who was not going to be their best player. He wasn't, but I thought he was going to be one of the three or four best players easily on the roster. And now they lose him. That's a real dagger. And the rare case here, player leaving college basketball because they can make more money to go be a pro overseas.
Yeah, I had Gonzaga ninth in the top 25 and one before this development. I will update. That means version 21 is on the way. But I don't know. Give me till Monday. Can I have till Monday?
You can. If you want to take till Tuesday, buddy, by all means. You're good.
I'll get it done Monday. But today's the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
I think whenever I need to say it's the Lord's Day to get a break, I just say it. Good. Today's the Lord's Day. I should rest on the Lord's Day. I'm going to be consistent with this. If I'm going to come on here talking to this microphone, hope that it works, and say things like, Koa Pete, what are you doing when you could make all this money in college basketball? Then I would say the same thing to Mario. Like if I understand. I get it. How can I applaud a college basketball player for turning down the NBA to come back to college for more money simply because it's a better financial opportunity and then turn around and go, I don't understand what this young man's doing. He's doing the same thing, just in a different direction. For him, the most money is in Spain. So he's going to get the most money to play basketball. And sucks for Gonzaga, but happy for him. I got to spend a little time around him last season. I was in Spokane for a Gonzaga game, and at shoot around afterwards, he came over and just, you know, kicked. I found him to be hilarious. He was like, naturally funny, even with the second language. He was just naturally funny. I found him to be interesting and charming and all of that stuff. So I liked the idea of him in college basketball being a relevant player. But, if he were my son and somebody offered him $15 million to go to Spain, I'd say good luck in Spanish and tap him on his way. And so,
No doubt.
Good luck to him.
There might be a real pull to go back home, and I get all that. But between him and Jack Cale, who's on site here in Vegas, I mean, he was a draft pick for the Knicks and was slated to, a German player was slated to be with Gonzaga. They'll still be good. She was quite literally being inducted into the Naismith Hall of Fame in like less than 2 months. Never put anything past him. I just wonder if this is damaging enough here where it kind of takes them out of the Final Four contention.
Didn't they lose another international player kind of like this at one point? Was it Petrushev? I think I remember them losing a guy who was going to be an All-American.
I can't remember. Yeah, and maybe that was it. You're kind of flaring something.
And I might have it mixed up in my head, but the way I remember it was when I reached out to the Gonzaga staff then, and they were like, we don't love it, but Drew Timmy's going to get all those points.
Yeah, and then they wound up being good.
They ended up being better. Timmy was maybe even better. But I remember they weren't beat up over that one because it was like, we'd like to have him, but wait till you see Drew Timmy. And then Drew Timmy was Drew Timmy. I don't think they have that on the roster right now where it doesn't matter that Mario's leaving, but they'll be fine.
I think they're going to get some. I don't know who they're going to get. There's still time. They'll get someone. It's just a matter
of. That's a lot of money, presumably, that they had attached to him that they're now freed up to go spend. It's like they got a gift card with an expiration date. Go spend it somewhere.
That's true. We'll just see what's available on the shelves, so to speak, there. Let's keep it moving here.
Looking for a simpler way to explore medical weight loss options? Orderly Meds connects you online with licensed healthcare providers so you can learn about GLP-1 treatment options from home. It's convenient, straightforward, and designed to fit your lifestyle. Get started today at orderlymeds.com/podcasts. That's orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Again, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Results may vary. Consult a licensed healthcare provider to determine if treatment is appropriate for you. Restrictions apply.
Little Bob here. This summer, shop the latest small space solutions at Bob's Discount Furniture. From retro chic bedroom sets to stylish space-conscious Bob-o-pedic sofas, it's all at Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
There was a headline that emerged. I don't even know what day. I mean, honestly, you might say it's the Lord's Day. I've lost all track of what
the Lord's
day.
Like, day.
This day has no feel to me. You can tell me it's Wednesday, and I believe you. This Ohio lawsuit, which... The news of that's like more than a week old, 15 players. The most notable on that list is probably MJ Collins, who played at Utah State last year for Jared Calhoun. Now he wants to, he finishes 4 years, wants to play the additional fifth year because now there's the 5-5 rule. The NCAA pushed it through. But unexpectedly, we have a lawsuit that's happening. And so there was a temporary injunction that was granted a few days ago for these specific 15 players, five or six of which are poised and hopeful to be members of Xavier's and Cincinnati's teams this upcoming season, even though per the NCAA, they don't qualify because the 5-5 protocol activates now starting next season. Since that came out, it was revealed that the Hamilton County judge in Ohio, his name is Chris Wagner, of course. I mean, this is so unsurprising. I am so not shocked by this headline, but nonetheless, it's a headline all the same. He went to Xavier, got a law degree at Cincinnati. Here's the twist. His wife is the dean of the College of Law at UC on top of all this. And a third of the plaintiffs in the case want to be basketball players at UC and at X. It's the one thing bringing that ever heated rivalry together. Now the NCAA is obviously drastically pushing back. They're pushing back on the merits of the case to begin with, but now they're saying, just like we had with the Bediako case and the judge in Alabama, now we got another one of these situations. We need an entirely new court, entirely new judge. They're going to try. I don't know if they'll win it or not. I don't know. But this has been a big headline. And just from the on the ground stuff here, GP, the only other thing that coaches have brought up to me more than like, how great is it to have this back in Vegas? In fact, it usually is like, here's why it's great to be back here. Finally, hopefully it never gets taken away from us again. We love everything about it. Then the second one is, so what do you make of, or so what's going to happen with this 5-5? Like, are we, because right. I'm just telling you, coaches are bracing, if not semi-preparing for this idea that the lawsuits will be won by the plaintiffs. These guys who just finished their fourth year this past season that aren't technically eligible to play their fifth and final season this upcoming season, they're going to win. It's going to take – who knows how many lawsuits would come about for the players that are seeking that. But be those kind of players, I had two staffs on teams in your top 25 right now tell me that agents representing guys – that know they are not going to make an NBA roster, but are living it up for the next 10 days here in Vegas, sure, getting some run in at these summer league games. They are at least side eyeing this, like, we sure we can't push this? You want to go see if you want to go play one more year in college? What if I tell you can go make $1 million going playing for the 17th or 19th or 23rd best team going into next season? Coaches are aware of this and they are bracing for it. They don't want it. They've told me, like, take it off the table for us. But if you're telling me that there's going to be an opportunity for a guy who was good enough to play in summer league, who's 22 years old, who if we brought on our roster would be at worst the fourth best player, and we have the money to do it, I kind of can't say no when I know it's going to be happening at the school, you know, that way in our conference, that way in our conference, this one in our backyard. So this has been a percolating issue here on the ground in Vegas, and the case in Ohio has obviously raised a lot of alarm bells.
I had one agent put it to me like this, like, what do you do right now in this moment? I've got a player. He's in summer league. He's not a full roster guy, but he might get an exhibit 10. or something, like a real NBA contract. But I know I can get him $1 million in college, mm-hmm. but I don't know if I can get him back in college. We're still like, mm-hmm. what do you do there? Do you really tell the, for lack of a better, just like, do you really tell the Cavaliers, no, we're not, you're offering my guy a contract, but I'm not taking it because we're waiting to see if we could play college basketball next mm-hmm. season. That's a thing that's like going on right now.
To a level where I think it's going on more, like the headlines haven't emerged yet, but it's like the wheels are being greased for it.
Right.
We'll see if it gets there. And to the topic of this lawsuit in Ohio, if the NCAA can win, I think the hearing is set for like the first week of August, I think. How that goes is probably going to dictate a lot of how this story goes. If those players don't win after the preliminary injunction, or if we get a new judge on it, I don't know if we will or we won't, but they're obviously going to fight for it. The NCAA would have someone different that doesn't have ties, whose wife isn't the dean of Cincinnati Law. Okay, we'll see how that goes. If those players win that case, and you and I will not be remotely surprised if they win that case. Part of me, I was telling a couple coaches, I was like, the NCAA just might need to relent here. I know why they're going to fight. I get this, but this is the only year this will apply because 5-5 is going to be the thing moving forward. Like, you might need to just
let it go.
Just take the losses. I like, it's going to be super messy with a lot of these rosters, and it's going to screw over a lot of the players coming into college. I get all of that. But this is just be for our listening audience, our viewing audience, just be aware that like this has the potential. It's not a guarantee. It just has the potential to become a very widespread, messy story in the back end of summer into the fall. And coaches are also waiting to see, you know, about 6 weeks from now, GP, there's going to be guys getting cut from NFL training camps. Are we going to see this? Are we going to see guys trying to double back and go play for Ohio State, play for Clemson, play for Tennessee, you name it? Because the 5-5 rule isn't just for basketball. It's across the board in all of Division I. So just keep an eye out for that. That's been kind of the talk of the town over the past 3 days here in Cincinnati.
And it's messy in ways we haven't even verbalized. In other words, it's also messy in this way. There is a young man at Cincinnati or Xavier or somewhere right now who signed with those schools thinking, I'm the starting point guard. I'm the starting small forward. I'm playing 31 minutes a game. Mm-hmm. I'm going to lead my team in whatever. And that can just be ripped away at the end of July because a judge says, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
and next thing you know, your coach is just recruited over. It's like,
yeah, I know. One coach told me he's not going to do it. He said, I won't do this. He's like, I did have a coach say, he's like, I don't care. He's like, I don't care if it will be the best player on my team. I can't do it. That coach is in the minority, but I did talk to one guy.
I have 100% head coaches tell me that too, that even if there were a better player out there for, like, I can upgrade my roster at this point, I don't do it because you mess up your locker room. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's true universally, but at least one coach was like, whatever you think you're getting by upgrading your roster in late July, you are messing up your locker room. You're going to have to take a phone call from a parent. Like, it's like, mm-hmm. what is going on? You told us these things. And now because a judge made a ruling that mm-hmm. you're just now, like, I have a buddy whose son was a baseball player, power conference baseball player. And something similar like this happened to him at a high school. They recruit him, come with us, you're our starting this, you're going to hit this. And then very late, I mean, he got there, enrolled the whole deal, ready for his freshman season. Very late, they went out and grabbed a 23-year-old mid-major transfer who's about 30 pounds heavier, you know, throws a little, all that stuff. And he's just stuck on the bench. And it's like, you know, it is what it is, but like, we never had this conversation. And you just dropped this on us after we were already there. Expectations already set. That's not cool. And now it's worked out for him, but I can tell you they weren't thrilled with how that went down. And this is setting up to do that all over again in a variety of ways.
Yeah. Well, the coach I talked to, I'm obviously not going to share who it was, but he's like, if we did this and I brought, you know, X player in and he was getting $2.5 million, $3 million.
Yeah.
He's like, if this player on my roster, and he named him, I'm not going to, he's like, if this player knew that was happening, like, I have a massive problem in my locker room immediately. I won't do it. So you will see some coaches that will eschew it, but others will not. Just heads up now, July 12th, story that's percolating, and we'll see where we're at come the middle of August. Keep it moving. You and I have gotten both to talk with Mike Boynton and Dusty May at Summer League there. Got to catch up with Dusty last night. He was sitting baseline for Mavericks versus Lakers. There were a lot of people, just a random side note, a lot of people were in the stands wanting to see Robbie Avila, who, if he got in the game, I was told, I actually saw Josh Schertz heading over, and he was told he wasn't actually going to play. They told him late. I don't know why. Who knows? But that was just kind of a bummer. Like, Avila obviously is like, he's a cult icon, and there were people that were like showing up in themed shirts. So he'll get his moment soon enough here later this week. But I was hoping to get to see a glimpse of him on the floor. It didn't happen. Dusty's enjoying life. One thing I can share that we talked about was he said he was kind of blown away by how amazing everyone has been throughout the transition process. Not just with the Mavericks, you would understand that they picked him to be their head coach. They're going to be like that. But he's just talking about like across the NBA, people that he's known from afar but doesn't know personally that have kind of sought him out. And he's in a really cool, really great spot. Kelly Flagg, Cooper's mom, was sitting next to us there. I got to catch up with her. She's super, extremely excited about the coaching change and what awaits there. But it was cool to see him. A little bit different, like looked a little bit weird. Like got to get kind of used to that. He did turn to me and said something to the effect of like, "Remember when we were talking 3 years ago and I was the coach at FAU and just kind of taking it all in." And I was like, crazy. I was like, man. And then I told him, I was like, hey, and I won't name the reporter. I was like, I remember not that long ago when someone came up to you and thought you were Mike White. Because if you don't really know who Mike White is and you don't know who Dusty May was, like, they don't look identical, but I get it. But I remember when he got mistaken for, because he worked for Mike White. And to think about where he was then versus where he is now, great, great stuff. We'll get to the Boynton headlines.
So on that,
it's great to see Dusty out and about here, and we both got a chance to catch up.
When I walked into Summer League Thursday night, he's like, and I didn't know where to go. Like, Summer League's wild in the sense that I don't think anybody knows where they're supposed to be.
It's loosely controlled. I love the environment. I hope the NBA never changes it.
I could walk in the building, and I literally don't even know how to get into Thomas & Mack. And they were like, "See that door that says restrooms?" I was like, "Yeah." They were like, "Walk through that." I was like, "No, I don't need to go to the restroom." They were like, "No, that's not actually the rest. It says restrooms, but that's like a door that takes you to Thomas & Mack." And I was like, "Well, that's confusing." But okay. So then I walk, and I don't know where to go, but I have a credential that says floor access. So I was like, "I'll just go down there." And like almost the first person I saw was Dusty. And so I just was happy to see him, congratulated him, all that stuff. But we had a similar conversation in the sense that obviously because of where I live, like it all starts, the Dusty May thing starts against Memphis in the NCAA tournament, and Memphis, there's a controversial that you go back and watch the final minute, but there you could play that out a million different times and Memphis might win it more often than FAU does. If you take it from this moment, mm-hmm. play it out, Memphis might win that game.
Yeah.
And now Dusty would take offense to that. He's like, "We won the game. You know, we won the game." I was like, "I know you won the game," but it's, then the next game is against a 16 seed, and the rest, as they say, is history. So what's interesting to think about is not just what if Dusty May would have lost that game in the round of 64 of that tournament. You don't go to the Final Four, obviously, mm-hmm. but then you know what probably happens? You don't fundraise. You don't have any money because nobody gives a shit about your team.
Yeah.
So guess what happens to all those players? They leave. Do you even have a NCAA tournament team the following year?
Right.
I mean, it could, like, you have, and then, and but you go to the Final Four, people are fired up about FAU. You've mm-hmm. got money to keep your team together. You go back to back tournaments. Now you got your pick of jobs. Mm-hmm. You know what happened next. Now he's the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. But like, it was just a few years ago where he was making nice money for a normal human, but not crazy money for somebody living in Boca.
Mm-hmm.
He was living a very normal life. And now look, I mean, it's just, and this is the way life works. Like, we all have stories like this. Like, I've told this one before. Like, I have this job and I've now had it for 20 years, but Pete Thamel turned it down first. What if he doesn't turn that job down to stay at the New York Times? I assume I'd still be somewhere doing something, but it wouldn't be the same. It would not be the same life. And we all have little moments like that. And I mean, they can come down to marriage. Like, who are you married to? Who are you spending your life with? If you didn't walk into that restaurant that night or didn't go to that school or whatever. So we all have these little moments where our lives change. It's just that his was on national television in the NCAA tournament, and it's awesome. I couldn't be happier because I've known Dusty since the beginning, and to see his career unfold, life unfold, to just see him standing on that floor as the head coach of Cooper Flagg and the Dallas Mavericks is just kind of a cool thing.
Gonna be wild, and he's most excited, and I detail a little bit in the story I wrote after he took the job, but he is so excited just to, as he says it, coach ball.
Yeah.
He just wants to dive in and learn as much about coaching basketball and not have to worry a single thing about recruiting a player. He's obviously super excited about that. Good for him. We talk about how things change.
He's like, all right, I got to get back to the hotel. And it was like, just get back to the hotel. It wasn't I got to go jump on a Zoom or I got to go meet with a parent or I got to go see this agent. It was like, I'm just a basketball. And that is, if you ask any of these guys, what is the biggest attraction about the NBA? It's not coaching at the highest level or challenging myself again. It's the lifestyle is so dramatically different and better. It's better. It's just
as long as you can handle the losing and the fact that you're not in charge. And for some guys, they want to be in charge. Dusty May's not in charge.
Right.
He's not the owner. He's not the GM, the EVP. He's the coach, which has plenty of responsibility, but that's just the trade-off. I was like, when's the last time you had like a genuinely bad season? He's like, assistant at Eastern Michigan, we lost like 21 games. So that was a long time ago. Yeah. So he's got to get used to that.
Your next one's coming. Your next one's coming next year, probably.
I know. Speaking of things
changing. That is when Brad Stevens came through as the head coach of the Celtics, through Memphis, his first season there, I went to the game just to see him. And after the game, I was talking to him and I was like, how is it? He's like, it's great for all the reasons you would think it's great, but I've already lost more games this season than I lost at Butler ever or something like that. And it was wearing on him. He's like, the losing's tough, but everything else is great. And I think Dusty will probably say that exact sentence at some point next season. The losing is tough, but man, this is a great life.
Yeah, it's now Masai Ujiri's responsibility to build the roster. Speaking of things changed drastically, though, Mike Boynton, since we last talked, he has been given a 2-year contract. This upcoming season, obviously guaranteed. Year two is a partially guaranteed deal. This was kind of where it was always headed. There were just a couple things with the contract details that they were basically hashing out over the course of a week. But this got done. Got to see Mike a couple times here. He'll be at Summer League later today to see some more of his guys as well. You talk about a guy like it's an amazing opportunity. He's got to hire like 3 guys on his staff. This was going to be how it always wound up. I think for both parties, they understand like this was the proper negotiation end game. We talked a lot about his situation. We don't need to go too deep on it overall. But since we last talked, he is now the full-time head coach and he's in the process of doing some recruiting. He's got a variety of people he's looking at for assistant job posts on this, and we'll see when those hires get made, how quickly or not they get made. But this is a guy who's in the rare spot. It's probably happened, but frankly, I don't know how often or if ever. Mike Boynton has been an in-house promotion 2 times to the head coach at power conference jobs. It happened when Brad Underwood left to go to Illinois after 1 year in Oklahoma State. And now he's got it here. He's not naive to the fact that he knows, he knows that this upcoming season, like Michigan needs to be in the conversation, top 10, top 15 team relatively consistently. And then it's got to show up and can't flame out in the tournament if he wants to hold on to this job. If it doesn't happen, he gets the deal, but he gets the opportunity to do it. He gets the chance to do it. He's super well respected. And I think holding on to that roster, it'll be official once we get through the portal situation. I think the portal will open for these players tomorrow or Tuesday. None of them are leaving. At least they've all said they're not leaving. Technically, they will have the chance to go into the portal. You best believe there might be someone trying to make a last-ditch effort to do that. But I still think, regardless, if you want to knock them for not having Dusty, that's totally fair. I still think that Michigan belongs somewhere top 10, top 12, regardless, heading into the season.
I did drop them a few spots for the reasons we discussed on a previous pod. Because, like, to not move Michigan after Dusty May leaves is to suggest Dusty May doesn't matter. And that just doesn't make any sense. Of course, you ready? Gonzaga loses a player. I am going to adjust the top 25 and 1 because I think that matters. I also think Michigan losing Dusty May has to matter. But I've still got him in the top 10. And I think you make a good point about Mike being promoted twice in this way, because I think that says something about you. Like you're around the building. These people know you. And I'm not saying there's never been a in-house promotion that went the wrong way, even at Michigan. But what it suggests to me is that if two different administrations at two different, very different places, both when they need somebody, look at you and go, we can trust this guy. I think that speaks well of Mike. And so now it is what it is. I think this is all fair and we don't have to tippy toe around it. Here's the truth. And you and I both love Mike Boynton. Here is the truth. Any power conference job opens at the end of last season, he would have had a hard time getting that job. But he got this one.
If South Carolina opened, he would have gotten it. He played there at like.
Okay, that's not fair. That's not fair then. Okay, but he'd have had a hard time getting a job the caliber of the Michigan job.
That he would tell you that's the case.
Of course. All right. But now you got it for all the reasons we've already laid out. And now go do it. And if you hit this thing out of the park, you could go to a Final Four next year, contract extension, the whole deal. Or if it doesn't go that way, then it won't cost much for Michigan to just start fresh and do this over again. And I think, I know the negotiations like lasted longer than you and I and Josh thought they would last, probably longer than Mike thought they would last too. But I think they landed at what seems like a fair spot. He's going to get an incredible opportunity. And now, it's basically like, hey, I don't know if you expected to get in the box and take a swing, but now you're in the box, but you got one at bat. And I don't know if it's really just one at bat, but you get the sense. Like, you need to be really good very quickly or else people already start wondering what's next. And so I wish him all the best. I love this story because as we talked about last time, you know, this is also a man who has been fired, who has been told you no longer get to do the job we hired you to do. And on a day like that day, I bet it's really hard to imagine something like this happening for you. I bet on a day like that, you can't even wrap your head around the idea one day I'll be coaching the reigning national champions. Like, what? And so, like, good luck and go kill it, man. I love stories like this. I hope he goes undefeated.
GP and I got to get out of here, but because I got to go do an interview. But 3 minutes and let's go. Just there's one more headline that I didn't give you a heads up on that has happened since we last talked. Wichita got the other site for the opening round. That came down just a couple of days ago. I was essentially told that it wasn't Wichita or Albuquerque, but Albuquerque was extremely in there. I think Des Moines was really heavily in there. Wichita won out because central time zone, centrally located in the country, really, really good fan base. Not the same elevation concerns. They've had tournament games at it. It's not at the Roundhouse. I'd love for it to be at the Roundhouse, but it's at Intrust. It holds like 4,000 or 5,000 more people. They have experience hosting NCAA tournament games there, so I get that. It would've been awesome if like Dayton is on campus venue for the school. It's going to be the downtown arena there. I think it makes sense, but it was a headline that happened since we last chatted, so I at least wanted to bring that up. Not surprised by it. They beat out seven other. Technically, there were seven other finalists that Wichita beat out. The NCAA announced this, I think on Thursday. I've lost track of days. Real quick, just your reaction on Wichita winning out and hosting opening round games in 2027 and 2028.
I'll revert to the same thing I often say about draft picks when somebody says, what do you think of the so-and-sos taking this guy with the 11th pick? I'd say it's not what I would have done, but I understand it. And so the same thing here. Like, we did
it. I would love Albuquerque. Wichita's fine.
Yeah, I voted Albuquerque. I didn't have a vote, obviously, but like, we did a dribble handoff last week and it was like, hey, where would you like this thing to go? And I voted for Albuquerque because of the historic nature of the Pit, but I'm not going to pretend that I care enough to be mad about this. Like, whatever. Play it. You know what? Play it wherever you want to play it. I'll probably watch it from a hotel room in New York City.
Yep. That's a show. And I believe that's a show for the first time ever, both of us in Vegas at the same time. Two very different hotels. Your boy went no frills over here. GP living it up. Parts unknown. I won't out you there.
You can out me. I'm fine. I'm getting out of here in like 30 minutes anyway.
Yeah, I know. It's time for you to head out. I'll be at Summer League next couple of days. We'll have some more stories coming here from Vegas just to kind of recap of what it's all been about. And then, as I mentioned before, at some point we'll get Fink on. Just if you're super diehard, want a couple little bits of intel on some of the notable players in the 27 class, we'll get that for you. Probably, I think, after Peach Jam. Just stick with us, and we'll talk to you when we talk to you next. We have no idea when that's going
to
be.
That's the show. Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Terry Teagle, legend. Hunk Marnell. for Moose. Oh, buddy. I don't know if you've been reading much lately. It's wild. It's a wild deal. It's a wild deal. If you haven't subscribed to the Island College Basketball Podcast, please go subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts like Apple and Spotify. There's more of us than there are of them.
That's right. And so many us's.
So many us's.
Oh, my God. The us's I saw leaving the Cosmo the other night. Woo! Baby.
I can't tell you how many people I've never met in my life walk up to me and just say, GP, I'm a us. And I just fist bump them every time. I'm proud. It's a movement. I started the premarital sex movement. I'm the face of premarital sex.
You're not taking credit for starting the premarital sex movement.
I think I started the premarital sex movement.
It was there long before. You arrived on the terra firma. Yeah.
I know, but I'm the one that took it mainstream. I'm the one that made it comfortable. I'm the one that made it where you didn't have to pretend like it's not awesome. All right? More of us than there are of them. That needs to be reflected in the comments. So do that, and we're going to talk to you again. We'll talk to you again.
Whenever.
Whenever. Till then, take care. Bye-bye.